Would invite you to turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Numbers. Numbers, the 23rd chapter. Numbers, chapter 23. I trust that my message today can be practical for all of us, but I especially want to deliver this message for Robbie and Crystal and their new walk in Jesus. Applicable for all of us, but especially I want to direct it to them and their new walk in Jesus. We live in a time when we wonder if we can trust in anyone's promises, and that includes ourselves, right? Even our promises. Take, for example, our credit scores. We do business with a company. Maybe we're going to buy a house. The day's going to come when you're going to buy or rent or whatever. You're going to get a car. And you have to have your credit scores looked at. And the credit score is they want to determine if, does this person keep their promises? Do they pay their bills? And that may be a scary arrangement for some of us because our promises to keep our bills paid on a regular basis may not be as we would like them to be. But I've got some good news for you. God has a perfect credit score. A perfect credit score. And in this world of broken contracts and broken promises, he still can be trusted. God can be trusted. He keeps his promises. And Robbie and Crystal, this is my goal today as you make your new walk in Jesus, is that you would learn to trust in the rock-solid promises of God. From this day of your baptism and your wedding tomorrow to till the time that Jesus comes, to trust in the rock-solid promises. God keeps his promises. Now, someone has wondered, well, how many promises are we talking about, Pastor Ken, that I need to trust in? Well, how many promises are there in the Word of God? Anybody have an idea? I would like to have you guess. Anybody have an idea how many promises that are actually given by God to you and me in the Word of God? Anybody want to guess? Oh, you're cheating on the cheat list there, aren't you? That's right. And say it out loud again. Let's say it out loud together here. 3,573 Bible promises. And Robbie and Crystal, these promises are for you, not just alone for your comfort, but for your everyday life, your everyday needs, everyday problem. They were designed for each of us, for every facet of our lives. And as you turn with me now in your Bibles to Numbers, the 23rd chapter, take a look with me, if you would, to verse 19. Numbers chapter 23 and verse 19. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and he will not do it? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? Now, often as I read, I love the New King James Version of the Bible. I said, well, I wonder what another translation would say. And I have a few translations in my library. And one of my favorite translations is the New Century Version of the Bible. And I really liked what it said there in this particular passage of Numbers 23 and verse 19. Listen as I read it. God is not a man. He will not lie. God is not a human being. He does not change his mind. What he says he will do, he does. What he promises, he keeps. I like that. Well, as you're turning your Bibles to another promise, and I want to promise you, and I think I can keep this promise pretty easily, I'm not going to read every 3,573 promises, but Psalms 89, let's go there to Psalms chapter 89. Now, maybe you can relate to me. I've made a number of promises in my life, and I remember as a young man the promises I would make to my dad and my mom. And some of them were out of impulse. I remember those promises. Yes, Mom, I'll wash the dishes right now. But it didn't. And some of my promises were made out of fear. I was pestering my sister, and that was for maybe the fourth or fifth time, and Dad was going to spank me. Dad, I won't do it again. Never again. I won't do it. But I did. And I've made some promises I knew I couldn't keep. Dad, if you would just give a down payment on that bicycle I want so much, I'll make the monthly payments from then on. But I didn't. You can relate, can't you? Our promises are sometimes like ropes of sand. But God's 3,573 promises are rock solid. Rock solid. He never lies. He tells the truth. He keeps his promises. In fact, our God goes out of his way and he guarantees himself. He guarantees this. Notice this, Psalms chapter 89 and verse 34. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. Oh, wow, what a God. He says that his promises are guaranteed. Well, that's awesome. 3,573 promises are guaranteed. And talking about trustworthy, talking about how we can really trust in his promises over our human promises, there are so many statements that Ellen White has made about the promises of God, but I want to share one of them with you. In volume 2 of the testimonies, and on page 92, listen to this. Bear your whole weight upon them, speaking about the promises, with unwavering faith, for they will not, they cannot fail. Now just think about it. Bear your whole weight. Can you picture that? I thought, now how can I illustrate this? And the thought came to my mind of an event that happened in my life, a scary event. And I think for some of us, maybe trusting in some of the promises of God is a scary event. Not too sure. We want to just bear our weight all at once, you know. Well, Lord, I'm not too sure, but I'll do my best. My brother-in-law, we were visiting in Colorado, and my mother and father-in-law live in Montrose, Colorado, and the nearest mountain range in Montrose, Colorado are the San Juan Mountains. Maybe you're acquainted with that range of mountains. Beautiful, beautiful mountains. And one day, my brother-in-law surprised me, and he says, Ken, we are going to go to the San Juan Mountains, and we're going to do some rappelling. Rappelling? What's rappelling? You're going to do rappelling? No, Ken, you're going to do rappelling with me. Come on along. Rappelling. I was really thinking about rappelling all those miles to the place, and he roped up, and there was this mountain, and I tell you, it wasn't just 10 feet down, it was several hundred feet down, and it was straight down, and he tied it onto a rock, and it was strong, and he showed me, and he built it up and the whole thing, and he went down like he was walking up and down the street. And there he is down there, and he's holding on to his rope, and there was another rope for me. And he says, now, Ken, it's your turn. Can you imagine? Can you imagine yourself? I'd never done it before. I just wasn't ready to let go of all my weight upon that rope. And I said, okay, under this condition, I want you to be right in the area where I'm going to go, so in case I do fall, I'll fall on you, will you? So he let me take that baby step. That baby step, that first step is a pretty tough one. You know, taking that first step back. And I got some practice and did it. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Friends, we can put our full weight on the promises of God. I trust my brother-in-law. Well, we need to learn. The more we know about our awesome God, we can know we can trust our full weight on his awesome promises. Robbie and Crystal, I want to share with you how you can cash in on God's promises. But first of all, an illustration. It appears to be that one of the very effective gimmicks for retailers in getting us to buy things, especially during the Christmas season, the holidays, is to buy gift cards. And that gift card I was going to bring and illustrate and share with you, it's in that other room, so I'll just kind of hold up in my eyes right here a gift card. And retailers have really gotten us to buy a lot of things if you buy a gift card. In fact, I've experienced this. Sometimes I buy a gift card or I receive a gift card. You've done both, haven't you? And sometimes I fail to use it. Can you relate? Or you can do what I just did recently. My son and daughter-in-law gave us a gift card, and I was going to use it to buy some plants. And I lost it, didn't know where it was. And that can happen. But either way, it's a noted fact that retailers make up to 50% profit. And even worse, sometimes the store closes, and that purchase gift card, well, it becomes useless, doesn't it? Ouch. And I thought, wow, what a great illustration, because this shows how God's rock-solid promises are so much better than human gift cards. And the reason why, again, is that because God's promises, God's gift cards, have no expiration date. And he stands true to his promise. He keeps his word. Wow, what a God. What a God. And I hope you're wondering at this time, well, how can I cash in on God's promises? Well, I'm glad you've asked that question. And some of you already have the sermon notes. You can actually just follow right down and see some of the ideas that I've put together for you. But I want you to, in a practical way, how can we apply these wonderful promises that God meant for us to have in a practical way? So, step number one, first, become acquainted with God's promises. Become acquainted with them. Get to know them. And if some of us are honest, we'd say, promises? What's a promise? We're not acquainted with the promises of God. Or we might think, well, promises. Oh, that's what you read at someone's deathbed. Or at a funeral. Or maybe at a sickbed. You read the promises. And indeed, all of the above is true. But my friends, we need to get to know the promises of God for today while we're alive and well. They're so effective. There's so much for us. And I would like to suggest that one way we can get to know his promises is just to note them. You're reading along in a story, reading along in a passage, and you say, wow, that's a promise. That's one of the 3,573 promises that are in the Bible. There's one of them. And some of you know me. I'm a rock hound. I love rocks. And I just visualize walking along God's sandy beach and coming to the place where I'm able to make a distinction between an agate and quartz. And there's one. There's another one. And you pick them up. You look at them. And you set them aside so you can look at them again and again and again. But how can we do that with the promises of God? Well, that takes us to practical idea number two. Number two is we find God's promises. How do we find them? We find them by identifying what our needs are. Now, I know this is a tough thing for men. Ladies, it comes so natural for you. You know what your needs are. It's just, you know, men, you know, we have to kind of be calm and quiet and understand what is my need? What is my problem? What is my temptation? And so we go down through the list. Oh, my problem. My problem is I need to get a job. My need is I need enough money so I can get a Christian education. My temptation is I get angry at my boss, you see. Whatever that need, whatever that problem, whatever that temptation is, identify what it is. Identify your problem. Identify your need. And once you do that, you're ready for step number three. And step number three is this. Now, find a Bible promise that identifies with that problem, that identifies with that need, that identifies with that temptation. Because every Bible promise was written for a purpose, not alone to give comfort, but also to speak specifically to your need, specifically to your problem and mine. And some of you may say, well, wow, where am I going to find some way to find promises that relate to my need, my unique need? Does God promise something for me? I want to stand here to tell you, yes, he does. And sometimes it's very specific. A lot of times it's there in principle, but he has a promise for you, whatever your need may be. And so you pray about it. And as you study the Word of God, sometimes that promise will stand out and say, Lord, that's my marching orders. I want to hold on to that. But I would suggest another thing, and it's not very expensive, is you can go down to the Christian bookstore, and there is a book, some of you have it in your library. It's called Bible Promises, My Bible Promise Book. And it's just filled with Bible promises and different needs that we have. And so we go down the list and say, okay, that's what my need is. My need is fear. I'm afraid of someone. I'm afraid of tomorrow. And then you look up that promise. You look it up. And that brings us to step number 4. Carry that promise with you. Carry it with you. And how do we do that? Well, first of all, I would suggest that you sharpen your sword, first of all. You sharpen your sword. Go to your Bible, read that promise right in your own Bible, and then begin to underline it. And don't underline it necessarily with an ink pen, but get a pen of some kind or a pencil that doesn't bleed through so it stands out. That particular color are all the promises, and I can find it a lot faster. And then secondly, I would suggest to make this practical for you is that you would take a 3x5 card and either type it on or write it out, that promise. Because that's the promise that relates to the need that you have, the problem that you and I have. You write it down on that card. And do I practice what I preach? Here's my cards right here. You know, sometimes I have to say that new needs come up. And I don't have any cards for those. I haven't written them out. Well, then I'm going to write it down again, a new card. And something that's really been helpful for me, those of you that want to really take this seriously and apply this to your life, the promises of God, get a little box and kind of organize your cards. Here are promises that for trusting God for fear. Here are promises and trusting God for wisdom. Here are promises for, and then to put those down. And then when the time comes, when your need comes, you just open up that little box and you find it and you pull it out and you put it in your pocket. And you carry it with you throughout the day, and you recite it, and you pull it out throughout the day. There's a verse in the Bible that we are familiar with. It's found in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, and it goes like this: faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And many of us already know that in the days of Jesus and the apostles, they didn't have a Bible. Per se, they had the Septuagint, but they didn't have the New Testament, for example, and so many times a lot of people didn't have the Bible as we have today, and so they sat and they listened to the Word of God read to them. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God, but let's apply it to the promises. Stronger faith, strengthening faith will come as we listen to the Word of God as we recite it again and again and again. I'm going to take an example. Maybe you know somebody, or maybe someone here today has a problem with smoking. And you know that one of the promises, or you've become acquainted with one of the promises, happens to be in Philippians. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a great promise to find strength, and it's through Jesus Christ. And so they write that down on the card. The day will come when it'll be on your heart. But in the meantime, write it on that card, put it in your front pocket where you usually put that pack of cigarettes. And then you go through the day and you're with your buddies or you're with the ladies and they're starting to smoke and you smell it and you're tempted. And instead of taking out that pack of cigarettes, you take out that card and you wrestle with that. You wrestle with the promise. Said, Lord, you promised that I can find strength in Jesus Christ. I'm asking you to keep your promise, Lord. I'm trusting in you. And God will come through. God will come through. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Well, I ask Robbie and Crystal to sit close by, and they did. And so I'm going to walk over here, and I don't have a lapel mic, but I can speak up loud. Thank you. Go ahead. Well, Robbie and Crystal, we are here and we're thrilled for your decision to be now a member of the church family. And I want you to know this message today was for everyone, but especially for you. And I would believe that as you are making your new walk in the Lord Jesus Christ, and soon to be married, very soon to be married, that I believe that the promises of God are going to be so relevant for you. In your baptismal certificate bundle, little packet, is a little book on the promises of God. And I want to encourage both of you, individually and together, to claim the promises of God. Hold on to them. And when we think of promises that you might need, just imagine some of the promises here. Promises for forgiveness. There are going to be times when you're going to need to say, I forgive me. Promises for victories. Salvation of our loved ones. Deliverance from our enemies. Victory over fear. Peace of mind. Our personal needs. Guidance. Protection. And I think you might need some wisdom too. Yes. These are just a few. Just a few. God has given these promises to you and to me, not alone for our comfort, and they are for our comfort too, but to speak to our specific problems. And you are human. Even after your baptism, there will be challenges. In fact, when we're first converted and after we're baptism, the challenges are not over. They've just kind of begun. But now you have God. Now you have God. Now you have His promises to equip you. So God is with you. I want to tell you a story. I've forgotten who our custodian and janitor is here at Sutherland. Who's the custodian now? Is it Jim or James? James, let's just, I'm going to pick on James for a minute. James, as a custodian, it's common to pick up Bibles and people leave things. And let's just imagine that James picks up a Bible. And the person, unfortunately, didn't put their name on it. But he flips through the Bible and hopes to find some identity. And what's unique about this Bible, as he browses through it, he sees that there were several places where there's the little letter T. T. T here, T there, T there. But then a lot of places too where it says TP, and it doesn't mean toilet paper, but TP, TP. And he was really curious, what was this? What does this T mean? What does the P mean? And so the next day when Sabbath started, he asked the pastor if either the elder on the platform or someone would announce that we have a Bible, and the custodian would be glad to give it to you. The real owner held up the Bible, and after church, this gentleman came. And he handed him the Bible and said, well, wait a minute, before I give you the Bible, I would like to know, what does T mean? What does P mean? You really have my curiosity in your Bible. And he says, oh, yes, T means tested, and P means proved. Tested and proved. I've gone through many Bible promises, Pastor, where I've said, Lord, I'm going to put you to the test. And God came through. I put a P there, tested and proved. I challenge you. I challenge you to put to life the promises of God that are there and test and prove them. For this day, your baptism, June the 2nd, 2012, I'm wondering how you can best remember this special event in your life. And one of the ways you can remember is to celebrate it each year. And so I would like to suggest a way that you can celebrate this occasion. Now, I know when this weekend comes next year, you're going to remember it, because you were not only baptized, but you're going to be married. And so you're remembering your anniversary. You remember birthdays. By the way, don't forget her anniversary. Don't forget the birthdays. It's very, very important. But you're going to remember those events. But to remember the day that you were baptized, I would like to suggest something. That you frame and display your baptismal certificate. Find the photographs, and photographs are being taken that you can share with your family and bring back memories. And then offer a prayer of thanksgiving for your baptism at mealtime and during your family devotions on that day to remember the special decision that you made. And I want to give you a candle. And this candle, I'd like for you to take. This is yours. And it's not something I want. It's yours from now on. And when June 2 of 2013 comes next year, if you would light that candle in remembrance of the decision you made in Jesus. That's one way to remember your spiritual rebirth day in Jesus. Baptism is not just a time when we are baptized into Christ. Praise God, it is that too. It's not only a time when we're baptized into this wonderful church family, the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist church family, but baptism is also a time when we are ordained for ministry, service for the Lord. And each of you are, as it were, a light. And there's no way that we have a light in and of ourselves. Our light comes from who? Jesus Christ. He is the greater light. And we're the lesser light. And in order for us to have any light, to be able to serve and live for Jesus, we must receive that light from Him. And to symbolize that, I'd like to ask if you would take your candle and walk up here and just go to the candle that represents Jesus. Jesus is the source of your light. And light your candle. God is good. I not only love the message, but I love the pictures there. They brought back a lot of memories, didn't they? Really did. God has a beautiful future for you. Truly, the best is yet to come. It is. I would like to ask, as we cooperate with the Spirit of God and wanting Him to anoint you with His Holy Spirit, as a Christian, you already have the Spirit of God dwelling in you. But at a baptism, in a very unique way, the Spirit of God wants to come very close and challenge you and open the way where you can serve Him. And you'll be able to find ultimately what your gifts are. And wherever your passion is, whatever you desire and enjoy, you go that way. And the church will be there to support you. So as you blow out that candle and keep the candle of light in your heart, I'd like to invite you to join me as we just come here and bow before the Lord. And I'm going to ask if the elders here at our church family in Sutherland to come forward. And Pastor Bierman, if you join us here on the platform, I've asked if Pastor Bierman would have the prayer, and then I would have the prayer of anointing. And Robbie and Crystal, come right over here, and we'll have you right in the middle. And we'll gather around you.
Lord, I'm thinking as we kneel here in your presence in this very, very special occasion today, how like your love and power are these commitments that are taking place? Mm-hmm. How like a baptism is marriage, and mm-hmm. how like marriage is the covenant that we keep on a Sabbath day? Lord, they're both based on commitment. Baptism is based on love, and you've given your Sabbath as a perpetual reminder of that commitment. And as this young couple is married in you,
yes, Jesus,
and make their lifelong covenant with you, I just pray that you'll bless them.
Yes.
Satan will try every possible way to discourage them as they move forward. Mm-hmm. We need not fear him. He will take care of us if we keep our lives focused in him. Mm-hmm. I just claim the promise for this young couple that if they are faithful unto death, that God will give them the crown of life, and they will find joy and happiness, and their light will shine in the world, that they will be faithful. So we pray that for them as we continue and ask for a blessing on this special covenant day.
Amen. Loving, precious Father, it is so awesome to come into your presence as the leaders of this church family gather around these special ones, Robbie and Crystal, the newest in our church family, babes in the Lord. Help us to be patient. Help us to be understanding. Help us to know that they have so many possibilities, but to accept them just as they are. And though they may be weak, yet through you, in time, they will be strong. And so, Father, knowing that your Spirit is here in a unique way and wanting to do his special work, I ask, Lord, that you would anoint them for service, and we would place each of them in your heart, and that you will open the way for them to serve. Help them to discover the uniqueness that they are, and to serve in their church family and their community, to represent you, and to stay ever close to the Master like Jesus, so that they can be a light wherever they are. In Jesus' precious holy name, we give you praise and glory for what you have done and what you will continue to do through them. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to give an opportunity for the elders to welcome them right here. Aren't they a beautiful couple? Not only are they a part of the family, but I think they would make a beautiful couple. I think you need to get married. Yes, yes.
Already in the works.
And it's in the works, isn't it? Pray for them. Support them. They're a part of the family of God. You remember the song that we sang? We're so glad you're a part of the family of God. Well, as we sing that song, we have a friendship basket that we want to give to you as a love from this church family to you. And we welcome you in the family. So why don't you bring it up, Chantel and Cheryl, and give it to them now. And together, let's sing together. Personalize it. We're so glad you're a part of the family of God. And we'll make our way down the aisle as we sing with you. We're so glad you're a part of the family of God. You've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For you're part of the family of God. God bless all of you.